All right. Well, good morning, church. How's everybody doing today? There we go. That's a little bit better. Well, hey, well, glad to see you. I see that we're all bundled up. It is pretty cold out there, right? So when I stepped out first thing this morning and said, oh, let me go get a jacket. It is cold out here today, but I'm glad that you braved the cold. I'm glad that you came here this morning. I tell you, I am happy to be here this morning in church. I just got to let you know of something. It's just been on my heart all morning. I pray that it is on your heart, and that is that King Jesus is doing an incredible work in this place already today. Do you believe that? He's already been doing it. He's got something incredible planned for us, and I'm just so excited. I am so excited. Well, hey, good morning again. My name is Justin Abercrombie. I'm the 212 coordinator here at the church, which basically means that I have the great joy of telling our middle school students about Jesus. And now I look around and I'm scanning the crowd and I see some of our middle school students. Be loud, be proud. Hey, 212 students, are you in here today? Put your hand up. Yeah. There we go. We got just a couple. Well, hey, glad to see that y'all made it this morning. Well, 212 students, I just wanted to address you first thing this morning and just to say thank you. Thank you. I love you. So thankful for you. I'm thankful that you give me the opportunity to tell you about Jesus and church. I just want to encourage all of you that what God is doing in our student ministries is just amazing. We have seen students go from death to life. We have seen students reach out to their friends and they go from death to life. We've even seen students reach out to their parents and their parents go from death to life. So God is just doing an incredible work in our student ministries, 212 and Doxa. And so students, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you. And now, parents, I also got to get y'all. If you are a parent of a middle school student, will you put your hand up in the air? There we go. Y'all the tired ones, you're like, yeah, I'm here. There you go. No, also, thank you. I will tell you, there is no greater joy in life than knowing that you are doing exactly what God wants you to do, that you are exactly where God wants you to be, and that is definitely true of me. And so, parents, thank you so much for allowing me to do what it is that I do. You know, last week we had that As One series where Billy came and talked about the family, which was an incredible message. And he's talking about the characteristics of a godly family. Well, I see through the students that come to 212 and Doxa that you, parents, you are setting the foundation for a godly home where you are taking the initiative in your homes and you are saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so I want to thank you. You are building the kingdom through your children. Thank you for allowing them to be a part of 212 and Doxa. So I'm thankful. I'm excited. I'm also excited that today we are starting a new series. And in case you couldn't tell by the Christmas tree and the Christmas lights, Christmas is right around the corner. I know, hard to believe. It was 80 degrees last week and we got Christmas coming up around the corner. But here it is and we are starting a new series called The Way. I absolutely love the heart of this series because what it is that no matter how far away you may feel from God, Jesus has made a way for us to come back to God. Amen? That is a beautiful truth. It is something that we need to be reminded of, especially in this Christmas season. And so we're going to be looking at different aspects and different people that play different roles in the Christmas story, but we're also going to be looking at the overlying theme that Jesus makes a way in his birth. Even Christmas is pointing to the cross, the gospel message of the cross. So I'm just so excited for what God's put on my heart. So we're actually going to be in Matthew 2, and we're going to be looking at some people that I think that you will be pretty familiar with this morning. But Matthew 2, let me get there. We're going to read the first 12 verses of Matthew 2 and pray and then get started. And it says this, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, catch this, church, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Church, will you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you so much for the incredible work that you are already doing in this place and in our hearts, God. And this morning, Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to do that mighty work. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that you have brought here, that you have drawn to yourself this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord. That you would just speak to our hearts, that you would just remind us that no matter how far away it may seem that we are from you, that Jesus closes the gap, that Jesus is the way back to you, and you are a good, good Father who can't wait to welcome us back. Lord, I thank you for this Christmas season. And Lord, you know that this is a distracting season for all of us, that there are people in here with heavy hearts, with so many burdens that they are bringing today. And there are so many distractions. But Lord, I pray that just during this time that you would just clear our minds, that we would be able to focus on you, trusting that by the power of your word, by the power of your spirit, that you can change us and you will change us. So Lord, we just ask you to move, to draw us closer to yourself, and for at least one person in here today that does not have a relationship with you, continue to draw that person close, so that they may leave here with a relationship with you, the God of hope. Father, thank you. We love you. Thank you for loving us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And now, show of hands, how many people are familiar with this story, part of the Christmas story? Right, we've got the wise men and Herod. Well, I remember back when I was younger, and I've learned I have to start saying younger instead of young because, you know, people are like, "Oh, you're still young. You're still young." And I admit that. So like back when I was younger, like smaller, I remember each and every Christmas, right? That anticipation. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? You like can't wait to fly down the stairs at crack 30 in the morning and go see what Santa has brought. And then you get down there and you're ready to rip into these presents. And then, well, what do my parents say? Well, hold up, because we have to read from the family Bible, the Christmas story. And I remember each and every year reading through and reading about the wise men and the Herod and just the beauty of that story. But to be honest with you, I didn't really appreciate it as much when I was growing up. But now that I get the time to look back and see that the wise men were giving us an incredible example of what happens when we put our eyes on Jesus. Amen? They show us what happens. Worship. Giving gifts, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so this morning, I don't want us to miss that. I want to just walk back through this story to make sense of what's going on because it's fascinating to me. I've come to treasure and cherish this story. And so there's a lot of things that we don't know about it, but what we do know is that a group of wise men came from the east. Now, these wise men, we don't really know their occupation or where exactly they came from, but we do know that they are Gentiles who study the stars. Crazy, right? They look at the stars and make predictions on what is going to happen based off of the stars. And so they have been waiting and waiting and waiting, looking for one star in particular that will alert them that a great leader has been born. And then finally, a star appears on the scene, and they come to Jerusalem. And they start speaking with Herod, who was king at this time, asking him, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" And this is fascinating when they come and they speak, because it shows me several things that I want us to go ahead and establish this morning. They asked, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" not where is the baby who will become king, but where is he who was born king? And what that tells me, first off, church, is that we must accept Jesus on his terms and not on ours. We are not able to dictate who Jesus is in our lives. Jesus makes a claim that he is who he is, and we either accept that or we reject that. That's the first thing that I see. The second thing is that they followed a star. Hello, is this crazy to anybody else? They followed a star into Jerusalem. But what this tells me on a more serious note is that God can and will use any means necessary to draw us closer to Jesus. Amen? He will use whatever it takes, that he is pursuing us. He is pursuing you even in this moment to draw you closer to Jesus. He will do whatever it takes. And then the third thing, they say, we have come to worship him. Because you see, worship is what happens when we see who Jesus really is. Worship is the natural overflow of getting a glimpse of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And you can't come to meet Jesus and not worship him. Amen? And so this is the example that the wise men set for us. We know after this that Herod gets upset because his self-proclaimed title was King of the Jews. And if you call yourself King of the Jews and people come into town saying the King of the Jews has been born, well, you're going to feel a little bit threatened, don't you think? And so he gets upset. And he calls all of his people who are knowledgeable in the word. And he says, tell me where the baby has been born. And they say, Bethlehem. So he begins to conspire and send the wise men to Bethlehem to find the child, to find the baby Jesus. The reason? So that he too may come and worship him. Now we know that that's not the case, that that is not what Herod has in mind, but he sends them. And once again, the star that had led them this far appears again and continues to lead them closer and closer to Jesus, and they find him. And we know the story from then on out. They offer him gifts. They fall down and worship him, and they offer him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh because they see who Jesus truly is and what Jesus is capable of, and their gifts are simply a response to what Jesus had given them. And we know that by warning in a dream that they're told not to return to Herod, and they go about their own way. We know after this, even though we didn't read this, that Joseph is also warned in the same fashion. And so he takes his family to Egypt. And again, we see just the protection over Jesus in the presence of the enemy, King Herod. And Herod gets upset and he orders the execution of all male babies in Bethlehem. And based off what we know about Bethlehem during this time, that's about 30 kids. And Jesus escapes, and he makes his home in Nazareth, where our Messiah comes from. And that is the beauty of this story. I know it's often kind of flipped over and just focused on another part of the Christmas story, but it is beauty here because the wise men and Herod both show us something incredible. And this is it, is that the way that they respond to Jesus. You see, the wise men acknowledged Jesus as king, and King Herod acknowledged Jesus as a threat. And you see, we immediately hear that and we're thinking, well, oh, hopefully I'm in the wise men camp where I acknowledge Jesus as a king. But you see, the truth is that the majority of us, if not all of us, are more like Herod than we are the wise men. Because we acknowledge Jesus as a threat. What do I mean by that? This is what I mean. This is the message of Christmas. Take note of this, remember this. This is the message of Christmas that is so important for us today. Our King has come. Amen? Our King has come. And if the Son of God was born in a manger, then it means that we do not have control of our lives. It means that if we perceive Jesus to be a threat, it's because we've been too busy trying to save ourselves. And I don't know about you, but I have certainly fallen in that camp. And I think we either are or have been in that camp at some time. I would even go as far as to say that in order to clearly see Jesus as King in our lives, we must first perceive him to be a threat and admit that there is no way that we can save ourselves, but our King has come to save us, and our King is beautiful indeed. Amen? And so that is what we acknowledge, is that Jesus is King, but yet so many of us in here are still in that camp where we perceive Jesus to be a threat. And when I say that, I don't mean that, oh, I don't want anything to do with him. Maybe you do have a relationship with him, but during this time of year especially, you begin to wonder if he really has your best interest in mind. Because you see, we talked about two camps. But there's another two camps in here that I think will be more easily recognizable. Because remember, it is Christmas time. It's coming up right around the corner, right? And so there is some of you in here, and I got to give a shout out to my favorite Christmas movie. And if this is yours too, you got to let me know. I'm a nerd, I know. But Elf, anybody? Anybody? Elf? Yeah, we love Elf. All right? And I remember one scene in particular from Elf. You're going to catch right on. When the guy's got the clipboard and he's coming in and he's like, okay, well, tomorrow Santa's going to be here at 10 a.m. Well, what does Buddy the Elf say? Santa! I know him. I know him. He's coming at 10. And you see, for so many of us, that is what the Christmas season is filled with, is this joy. See, some of you had your Christmas trees up back in October. Shame on y'all, but y'all are so ready for Christmas. You're like, it's 3 months away. I have to go ahead and get, you know, ready. I can't waste any time with this thing. It's going to be here. We got to get prepared. All right? That is some of you where you are just filled with this anticipation and this excitement getting ready for Christmas. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But then, forgive me, because I'm about to get serious here. But then there's another group of us who, instead of looking at Christmas as the most wonderful time of the year, instead it's one of the most difficult times of the year, where emotions that we thought were buried come back to the surface, where we are put face to face with the reality that we are waiting on something. We are waiting on something or someone to come through. And you see, this waiting, it has a lot to do with this season. You see, this season in which we are preparing for Christmas, it's called Advent. That word Advent, it really means coming. So during this season, what we are supposed to do is to look back and to celebrate Christ's coming at Christmas, but also look forward, waiting expectantly for his second coming. Amen? That is what Advent is for. And that's what we're supposed to be waiting on. But if we're honest with ourselves, a good majority of us are waiting on something else. We're too distracted by something else to focus on the true meaning of Christmas. Maybe for you, what you're waiting on is a doctor's diagnosis. And that word cancer has been thrown around a good bit, and you are hoping and you are praying that that is not the reality that you are facing, but yet still there it is, and you're waiting. You're waiting on test results. You are waiting on a relationship that has been broken to be restored. And you've been praying and praying and praying, hoping that this Christmas season is going to be the one that changes it all, where you are reunited again as friends and family. Maybe you're spending your first Christmas without somebody you love. Maybe you're spending another Christmas without somebody you love. Whatever it is, we are all waiting on something. And I know that our church has been well acquainted with loss, but church, you need to know this, that you, that we are not alone in our waiting. Because you see, I most certainly fall into that second camp. And now if you know me, you know that it is a miracle that I brought this out of my house. Because if I look at the 2 to 3 things that I own, this is probably my most cherished possession right here. And the reason it is such is because it's a picture of me and my grandma and my granddad. My granddad's name was Bucky. And now forgive me, you can laugh, but see, when I was young, I didn't understand that you had 2 grandmas. That blew my mind. You had 2 grandmas? What? Double the presents at Christmas. Booyah, here we go. And so I had grandma, my mom's mom, who was on the scene, you know, from a very young age. And then I got old enough and dad's mom comes into the picture and I'm like, oh, another grandma. And so I called her another grandma. And she signed all of my Christmas cards that way, all of my birthday cards that way, is another grandma. And this was me back in the day, yes, me, rocking that Tasmanian Devil t-shirt, getting the first catfish. And I will tell you that my grandmother was the most godly woman that I have ever known in my life. I'm sure that there are so many of us here in this room where we can look back at our grandparents and we can just thank them for the legacy that they set for us. Because of the devotion that they showed, because of their prayer life, because of their boldness with their faith, they set the foundation for you and I to come to know Jesus one day. And for me, another grandma most certainly did that. She was an incredible woman. She made my father into the man that he is today and allowed for my father to make me and to continue making me into the man that I am today. But you see, something about another grandma that I didn't know was that she was facing a battle that I couldn't see, that my father couldn't see, that my grandfather couldn't see. And that was a battle with depression and bipolar disorder. And I know that there are so many people in here right now who are fighting that same battle. And you need to know that you are not alone. Even though I didn't know that she was fighting that battle, it became very clear to me in my childhood. In 2001, my grandmother committed suicide and lost her battle with depression and bipolar disorder. And I will tell you that that completely rocked me. What rocked me even more is that I didn't find out right there at that time. You see, I was so young at that time that my parents didn't tell me in order to protect me. And I'm thankful that they did. But what rocked me is that I found out from somebody that was not my mom or my dad several years later. And it completely turned my world upside down. This has a large part to do with my testimony because during that time, Jesus was a threat to me. Because you see, I blamed Jesus for all the bad that had been done to me. And even though I couldn't perceive it at the time, the enemy was keying in on me, and because of what had happened to me in my life, was telling me that I will always be alone. That I will be abandoned, that I will be left, that I will be forsaken. And you see, some of you today, you hear that same voice each and every day, but I will tell you something that I realized several years later when I came here to Georgia Southern. I came here to Connection Church, and in between my freshman and my sophomore year of college, I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I realized that no, everything that had happened to me in my life was bad. Church, you need to realize that if you were in the same boat, that God does not look at what is good and call it bad and look at what is bad and call it good. No, he calls what is bad, bad, and he calls himself good, because no matter how bad your circumstances are, God is good even in your circumstances. Amen? And I realized that. I realized that, no, Jesus was always with me during that time. He was mourning with me. He was walking with me through that devastation. But I couldn't see it until I saw that he was king. And you see, maybe you're in that season like me where you are waiting. You are waiting on just some kind of peace, some kind of hope. some kind of joy, some kind of stability in your life, because during this season, you are fighting a battle that nobody else can see. But we are all waiting on something. You need to know that you are not alone in your waiting. But church, this is what I want to encourage us with today, and this is the focus of this message, is that none of us are waiting on anything more than we are waiting on our King to come back. Amen? And we have that as a sure and a steadfast hope. You see, the beauty of Christmas, again, is that our King has come. And because he was born in the way that he was, he showed us that we are not alone. Christmas shows us that Jesus knows what we're going through, because he too experienced evil. He too experienced suffering. He too experienced death and losing others around him. But you see, he is coming back again as King to put an end to all evil, all death, all suffering. Amen? And church, we need to be encouraged about that this morning. You see, the heart of this is the way. And so I want to encourage us that Jesus has already made the way for us, that we have a sure and a steadfast hope in him, that our King is coming back. He started it at Christmas, but get ready, be prepared, and wait expectantly, because our King is coming again to make right everything that is wrong in this world. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And so here's the thing that I want you to be encouraged with this morning, and everything's going to flow from this, is if you are waiting, you need to know that waiting is worth it when you're waiting on God. Now, you see, anything else that you're waiting on is probably not worth it. That's definitely been the case in my life. But you see, when we are waiting on God, putting our hope and our trust in him, he comes through each and every time. Waiting is worth it when you are waiting on God. And now you might be asking, well, why is that? Why is waiting worth it when we're waiting on God? And I want to give you three things this morning, three reasons why waiting is worth it when we're waiting on God. And the first one is this, that while we are waiting, he is working. While we are waiting, he is working. And you see, church, we need to admit that things are not as they should be. We shouldn't have to lose our loved ones. Cancer should not be in our dictionary. You've heard it said from this stage that it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. Well, if we apply that to ourselves, then we can certainly apply it to everything around us. Because things are not as they should be. But as Christians, we also need to recognize that God knows that things are not as they should be, and he is working even now to make all things right in the end. He is working. And so, Christian, I want you to be encouraged this morning that what we are waiting on, what we are trusting that he is working on while we're waiting, it's a sure thing. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to, get it? Revelation. Oh my goodness. Revelation. Wow. I think somebody passed out in the 9 a.m. when I said that. 9 a.m. Revelation 21. And this is what we are looking forward to. And this is what we can trust that God is working on while we are waiting. In Revelation 21, it says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Do you see? We will see Jesus face to face. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away." Church, do you look forward to that day? Do you look forward to that day where those things will not exist? I pray that we do. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And you see, church, is that this, while we're waiting, is what we can trust that God is working on. That he is working out all things, and so we can rest in that. You see, at the very end, Jesus says, "I am done." And when God says, "I am done," it is a call for us to rest in what Jesus has done. Amen? And we can look forward to that day knowing that our final rest will come. That we can rest even now, knowing that that is sure and steadfast. We can rest in the fact that our waiting is not in vain. We can rest in the fact that God is working even in our waiting. We can rest in the fact that God sees our struggles, and not a single struggle we are facing is too far for the shadow of the cross to reach. We can trust that he is good and he is working out all things for our good and his glory. Amen? And that is our destination. And this is our hope. Because maybe, like me, this Christmas, you look around, and even though you are filled with joy by the sight of lights and all of these things, that joy seems to cease when you realize that somebody you love isn't there. But here is what I know, church, is that if that loved one has put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They are in glory with Jesus. And if we have put our faith and our trust in Jesus, this is our ultimate end too. And I, for one, cannot wait for that day. Anybody else? Amen. That's what we're looking forward to. And so we can trust that while we're waiting, he is working. Here's the second thing. This is the second reason why waiting on God is worth it. While we are waiting, he is with us. While we are waiting, he is with us. And now you see, what amazes me about the story with the wise men is that a star led them to Jesus. What amazes me even more about this story is that a star appeared again and continued to lead them closer and closer and closer to Jesus. Because you see, Jesus will do whatever it takes to pursue us, to pull us in. But you see, our problem, even though he is pursuing us and leading us, is that we have a problem with looking up where our help comes from. Because we get too distracted with other things. We get lost in the waiting that we forget that Jesus is with us, even in the midst of that devastation. But church, be encouraged this morning that Jesus is indeed with us. And we can look up. And the Bible says that we have that choice. That even though storms in life are going to come, we can trust that Jesus is still with us in those storms. We can choose above all else to fix our eyes on him. And so I want you to turn with me to Psalm 16. And Psalm 16 is my favorite psalm. And these are my favorite verses, and they come from 5 through 11. And these also are going to be up on the screen. And verse 5 says this: "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And you see, what I encourage you to do is to read that as a prayer. And what that is saying is that, Jesus, I choose to set you before me. You notice there that there is not an absence of difficulty. Even as David is writing these words, he is still saying, regardless of what is going on in my life, I am not ignoring my circumstances. I am not ignoring my waiting. I am not ignoring the struggles I am facing. I am simply choosing to put Jesus at the forefront of everything that I am facing. I put him before, and I trust that he is before and behind me, and for that reason, nothing can ever shake me. And you see, church, that is what I pray that our attitude is this Christmas season. That even though you are waiting for something, that we don't ignore that. I know that we are hurting. But what I pray that our answer is that even in my waiting, I choose to fix my eyes on Jesus. I choose to set him before me, trusting that he is with me. Emmanuel. And last but certainly not least, the third reason why waiting on God is worth it is this. Jesus shows us how to wait well. Jesus himself is the greatest example as to how we wait well. Regardless of what it is that we are waiting on, we can look at Jesus and find our inspiration to keep going, to wait well. And you see, in between Christmas and the cross for Jesus, he was waiting. You see, you're not alone in your waiting because Jesus has waited with us. He is able to wait with us. Why? Because Jesus waited for us. Jesus is able to wait with us because Jesus waited for us. And what do I mean by that? Well, Hebrews 12 gives us the perfect answer. And in Hebrews 12, the context is this. The context is that our King is coming, but there is still some work that needs to be done to prepare the way for him to come. Sounds just like today, right? And so this is incredibly important for us as we look to how Jesus shows us how to wait well. And Hebrews 12 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." What is this saying? It is saying, church, that there are people not only in here but outside of here who are looking at us trying to find out where we find our joy. And even when we are in the valleys of life, they are looking to see if we are finding our joy in Jesus or if we are letting the mountaintops and the valleys erode that joy in Jesus. But church, I pray that our answer is that it doesn't matter even if I'm in the valley, I will still find my joy in Jesus. And whatever I root in Jesus cannot be uprooted by the enemy. Amen? And I will tell you that nothing irritates the enemy more than when God's people will praise him in the middle of a valley. And so I pray that if you today are in your waiting, if you are in that valley, that still you will say, God, you are good. God, I still give you worship. Because you see, waiting shouldn't interrupt our worship. Waiting should increase it. Because we know that what we are waiting on is God. And when we are waiting on God, it is worth it. Why? Because God comes through. Our King has come, and rest assured, he is coming again. But while we are waiting, we have a race to run. And how do we find our inspiration to run? Verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you notice where Jesus is sitting? At the right hand of the throne of God, which, yes, that's right. He's on the throne. He's still reigning. He's still in control. Even though the enemy might like to come in and make us think otherwise, no, Jesus is still in complete control of even the smallest details in our life. Amen? He is on the throne. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of us fixing our eyes on Him, and He is worthy of us finding our joy in Him. But still, you may be asking, why? Why is finding my joy in Jesus worth it? What makes Jesus any different than anything else that I'm searching for joy in during this difficult season, this waiting? And here's your answer right here. We can find our joy in Jesus because Jesus found joy at the thought of bringing you and me into the kingdom. You see, it says that even when the cross was before Him, He endured it because He saw the joy on the other side of it. And that joy was reconciling us back to our Father. You see, Jesus was always the way. Jesus is the way, and Jesus will always be the way through our waiting. Amen? Our King has come, and He is coming again, and He is seated. He is seated, and He is working while we are waiting. He is with us while we are waiting. And He shows us Himself how to wait well. And so, church, if you are in the waiting, you need to know that you are not alone. You need to know that our King is worth waiting on even more. And you see, that is a sure and a steadfast hope that we have in Christ, that our King is coming to make right everything that is wrong in our world today. And so to you, I say again, waiting is worth it when you are waiting on God. Waiting is worth it. And as we end today, there's one scripture that has been on my heart. And it's Romans 15, 13. And you don't have to turn there, but I want to read this to you. And it says this: Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Because you see, in this waiting season, you may be waiting on peace, you may be waiting on joy, you may be waiting on hope, but fear not, because Jesus is the source of our joy. Jesus is the source of our peace. Jesus Himself is hope. And so as we wait on our King to come, that should breed hope and peace and joy in our lives. But you see, that only happens if we have acknowledged that Jesus is King, that Jesus is in control. And so you may be sitting in here and you are saying that that is what I have been searching for all my life. Like the wise men, you may be looking for Jesus, and you today have discovered that Jesus found you. That's my story, and it most certainly is somebody else's story in here today too. I trust it. You came in here looking for Jesus, but instead today Jesus found you. Well, welcome to the way. Welcome to the way where He breeds hope and peace and joy, even in the midst of our waiting, even in the midst of our devastating season. And so if you are waiting, you are not alone. But I must ask you, do you know the God of hope? Do you know the God of hope? And if you don't, that offer is on the table today. And Jesus is the only way. And so as we close today, I'm going to ask you to be bold. I'm going to ask you to move, to respond to the way that God is moving in your heart this morning. And if today you say, I do not know this God of hope, but I'm not leaving here today without knowing Him. If that is you, I just want to ask that you would put your hand up in the air so that we can pray with you, so that we can celebrate with you what God has just done in you and help you to walk out even though you're in the waiting, that waiting is worth it when you're waiting on God. And so if that's you, would you just put your hand in the air so that we can pray with you? And if not, there is still something that our God of hope is calling us to do today. And he's asking us to respond in prayer. Because you see, I know that our church, so many of us in here, we are in this waiting season. We are hurting. We are well acquainted with waiting. But I want to encourage you, something else that we're well acquainted with as a church is prayer warriors who want to walk through that battle with you. Because you see, you might be facing a battle that nobody else can see, but it should never be that you are fighting that battle alone. We want to help you. We want to fight this battle with you in prayer. And so if that is you and you are in the waiting and you are in the hurting, I'm going to ask you to come to the front of this stage. And I'm going to ask you to leave whatever it is, whatever struggle you are facing, to bring it to God. And trust that God is working. Trust that God is with you. And that Jesus himself shows us how to wait well. But would you bring that to Jesus' feet, trusting that he is good, that he is faithful, and get to know the God of hope. So as I pray, would you come, would you move? If you don't feel led to pray, you're more than welcome to leave, but please leave quietly. And if that's you, we can't wait to see you next week. But will you move? As I pray, Father, we thank you so much for this morning, Lord. God, I just thank you for the incredible way that you have just moved in power, God, in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to do so. God, I pray that you would just draw us closer to yourself right now, that if there is anybody sitting in the seat who knows that they are hurting, that they are in that waiting, God, that you would just pull them, that you would just draw them closer to yourself, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the work you've done, and thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you that we can trust you, that even when we're waiting on hope and joy and peace to come, God, that you are working, that you are with us, and Jesus has shown us how to wait well. So God, I pray that during this season that we would just fix our eyes on Jesus. God, I pray that even though we are tempted to fix our eyes on so many distractions, that we would reorient our hearts to you, Lord, trusting that Jesus has made a way for us to come back to you. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for constantly pursuing us. Continue to move in this place and in our hearts today. Father, we thank you and we love you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.